The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Glenn Carr is with me in the meantime, who is the Director of Commercial Business at Éireann Róid Éireann and the Port Authority for Rosslare Europort. Glenn, you're very welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kieran. Great to be here.
Listen, tell me how much business at the port in Rosslare and Europort changed post-Brexit?
Yeah, to give you an example, prior to Brexit, we had 6 sailings a week to Europe. We now have 36, along with our 56 sailings every week to the UK. So a 6-fold increase in shipping services. So with that additional capacity and frequency, we've seen a 75% increase in freight, and we're currently trending just over 10% ahead in passengers. So a phenomenal change in terms of the business itself, a lot of extra people, extra resources, and we're just also going through what is the largest ever infrastructure investment in the port. In fact, it's the second largest infrastructure project currently in the country, on budget, ahead of time, to be ready by the end of July, early August, nearly $200 million investment into the port. So Rosslare Europort has become, the jewel in the crown of ports in Ireland.
And are there plans for further investment? I know Rosslare Europort is there kind of central in Project Ireland 2040 as well, in the National Development Plan. So what's the vision for further expansion?
Yeah, I mean, there's probably 4 key projects in terms of infrastructure. The current one that's underway at the moment, in assistance with the OPW, John Paul Construction. So that's in excess of $200 million. There's the port access road that will be brought into the port commencing in February next year. That's with TII and Wexford County Council. Again, in the region of plus $30 million of investment there. We then want to see the N11 developed from Oilgate, obviously connecting into the M50, so roadway all the way to Belfast, so that's on the cards. And then the next exciting project for us is we hope to go into planning next month, which is to build out a new facility in the port to support the offshore wind energy. So this is a doubling the size of the port, deepening the port, 2 additional berths, reclaim about 21 hectares. And that's to get ready to support, all the wind farms planned in the Irish and Celtic Sea. Rosslare Europort has the best location, not just in terms of closeness to Europe for the current trade and passenger, but also we're in 60 to 100 nautical miles. We are the closest port for where all the planned wind farms to be built out are going to happen.
And to what extent then do you rely in terms of those expansion plans on other infrastructural projects, be they road or rail around the country? I know, there's been great connections in the N25 that I was on today as well has been massively upgraded. But what about other infrastructural projects you'll rely on?
Yeah, I mean, it's all about the national plan. I mean, ports are they're a critical piece of infrastructure. I mean, 90% of all goods come in and out through our seaports. So whether it's Rosslare, Cork, Waterford, our neighbours, Dublin, Shannon Fines, these are all essential pieces of infrastructure. And yeah, from an intermodal point of view, it has to fit in with your road, with your rail, and all of those. So yeah, we rely on that as in terms of the overall plan for the country. But we also focus in regards to what the port can do in terms of that. And the port is the engine driver for the South East. The big ticket item, certainly after this one, as I say, I mean, this project, by the way, that we just completed, just to give you a scale of it, I mean, over 450 construction workers on site, nearly 2,500 workers through there. You're talking about 7.5 kilometres of drainage, 91,000 square metres of concrete yards, $40 million, by the way, going into the local economy, to local service providers. So a massive driver. And again, the next project for offshore wind, which is essential, by the way, if Rosslare is not built out, Cork have plans to build out, as do Waterford. But if Rosslare is not built out, that will create logistical challenges for the offshore winds to be built. And certainly talking to all the developers, they want to see Rosslare built out. So this is part of a national project. We're to wean ourselves off fossil fuels. The Rosslare piece is going to be essential over the next number of years.
How difficult has it been, or how much have you run into the same issues that anybody who's, whether they're kind of involved in a massive infrastructural project, the National Children's Hospital, Europort, or just building a house, deal with in terms of inflation, material inflation, wage inflation, labour constraints?
Yeah, I mean, they're all the challenges. But again, to put it into context, we've transformed the port over the last 26 months. So there are a number of elements required in that. And by the way, we've had to do that in a port that has grown at an alarming, I mean, very successful rate as well. So this is a live situation where you have, as I say, in excess of 450 construction workers on site, along with all of our staff, customs, guards, everything else. So obviously the resources that we have there are essential. So as I say, whether it's our Tier 1 contractor, John Paul Construction, our own staff, I mean, they're all the essential elements. Planning is a challenge. Having said that, we were extremely lucky for the planning that was required for the last phase of works with Wexford County Council, who have been immensely supportive of the works. So again, getting that planning through quickly, and indeed we got it through very quickly. And then it's about the local community, because all of those works are very disrupting to the local community. So we work very closely with the community of Kilran, Rosslare. They know how important the port is, how it generates economic activity, but it's also to ensure that we're good neighbours along that. Different challenge for the offshore wind. I mean, that's going to be, obviously, we just received our MAC licence, so MARA are now in Wexford, so we've just received our what's known as our marine area consent.
Yeah.
We're about to go into the planning process next month. We must get through planning in 12 months. We can't afford a situation where this project is delayed too much beyond that. But we, as I said, we've been planning for this. I mean, you don't just arrive at planning. Over the last 3 years, we've been doing all of the relevant studies, environmentals, stakeholder involvement. We have fishermen we've got to consider. We, as I said, we have the local community we've got to consider. And we have existing customers that we have to consider. So over the last 36 months, we've been working really closely with our stakeholders. I think we're in a good position. And then the final element is funding. I mean, the reality is current port policy is under review with the government, which is good to hear. But ports operate on a commercial basis, and heretofore, direct investment by the government into ports hasn't happened. However, for projects of these nature, which are for national importance, it'll be essential that funding is made available in order to raise that to raise the project and the capital that's required. We can raise a certain amount of money, but we certainly can't raise the whole fund. So funding, planning, they're going to be the key elements along the route now over the next 24, 36 months.
And, I mean, if there has been pushback from any of those stakeholders, does it tend to coalesce around a certain issue? Is it to do with kind of, you mentioned the fishing industry, and I know some have expressed concerns about the impact of the turbines on fish stocks and on their ability to fish existing stocks. What has been the pushback, if any?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, the country has to decide if we're going with offshore wind. I mean, when you think back, Arklow was the first offshore wind project in Europe, and we failed to build on that, and the rest of Europe have built on that. And we've a sea area 10 times the size of Germany. I spent some time in ports in Europe, and countries are envious of the natural resource Ireland has. So we just got to really get over this initial thing of the turbines. I mean, we have on land, now we're going out at sea, a good distance out at sea, but then you've got to be respectful of the of that environment as well. So, as I said, for us in Rosslare Europort, where we're building the new facility, for instance, has an impact on the fishermen. So we're building them a better facility than that's what's there at the moment. There's a small bow harbour that's there that where we're going to be building. And again, we've spoken to the community about a better facility and that trade-off. But the big trade-off for the southeast, I mean, there's a couple of thousand jobs here at stake. If you miss out on the construction and the installation elements of the offshore wind project, you miss out on creating that habitat at the start. So if these turbines are built out in the UK or they're built out in France, that's where the jobs are going to go. So as a country, we need to realise that. And we need to put the proper planning, proper funding in place. But consultation, I'm very mindful of the consultation. But if there's an example of how a project probably can be delivered and people should be proud of, it's the one that's currently gone on in Rosslare. As I say, it's the second largest project, a little bit under the radar, but we are mindful to keep it under the radar. But it'll come in ahead of time and on budget. And it shows that we can do these big projects and do them really well.
Yeah, because that's exactly what I was about to ask you. I mean, how what's your reaction when you hear people say the opposite? You know, we're not good at infrastructure in this country. People will often make that remark. Now, often in the context maybe of an example at the other end of the spectrum, like the National Children's Hospital, they'll say we can't do things on time, we can't do them on budget.
Well, I disagree. And you made a reference there to even building a house. And if anybody's ever built even an extension, things change along the way in every project.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'll be back, Glenn. It wasn't on time or on budget, yeah. I can tell you that.
Yeah. And we've had lots of bumps along the way in the project in Rosslare. But we've had a partnership approach with the contractors, with our other stakeholders, and you deal with the issues when there are. You plan ahead, obviously, you design as best you can in advance. For the offshore wind, we're going to do something different. We're going to use a contractor without getting too complicated called ECI, Early Contractor Involvement. And this is, I believe, is the only way forward for big infrastructure projects. It's where you engage the contractors at the start of the process. You pick your tier one contractor. Mm. They're in from day one. You agree the design. You lock the design in. You lock the price in. But then there's an incentive for the contractor, i.e. if we can re-engineer during the process and save money, they get some of it. And then equally then the project gains on that. But I don't want to comment on other projects. I only really talk about the project that we've had. It does take ambition. It takes a degree of risk. You have to be dogged. Yeah. And you have to see it through. And you've got to treat it like it's your own money. I mean, this is the key, and that's how we've always approached it. We're getting taxpayers' money. I treat it as though it's our own money, and we try and ensure we get best value there.
The infrastructure we most often talk about on the show is housing, understandably. And if I had a developer in and I asked them about, you know, the concerns they would have, they would talk about the planning and zoning and labour force constraints and international finance and everything in between. What's the thing you'd be most worried about in terms of, for example, that next phase in the project, the offshore wind and all of the work that has to be done onshore as well to prepare the port for it? What one issue do you think I'm worried about that now more than anything else?
I'm not actually worried about anything too much per se. We're doing this for the benefit of the country, not for the benefit of myself or Israel, Rosslare, Europort. We're trying to build something out, by the way, through in-depth consultation with the customer here, and the customer being the developers. We've asked them, what do they need? And we've gone about designing something that they need. So from a commercial and a design point of view, we believe we've got the right mix there because we've had the customer involved from day one. The funding is where this will come down to. And again, for me, that's a government decision. That's a national decision. What we're building here is for the benefit of the country, not just for Wexford, it's for the whole entire country. So if we don't get the funding, it won't be because we haven't put the right product or the right project forward. Once you get over that, get through planning, once you start the project, listen, every day you're on the job, every day you worry a little bit. But when you have good contractors, you have a clear design and you have good partners, I think you go a long way to making a success.
Glenn, listen, we wish you every success and thanks a million for coming into us here in Green Acres.
Thank you, Ciarán.
Glenn Carr, who is the Director of Commercial Business at Éireann Róid Éireann and the Port Authority for Rosslare, Europort.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciarán Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.